All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of the Crypto 101 Podcast. I'm your host, Bryce. As always, joined by my good buddy, my best pal, Mr. Brendan Veeman. Brendan, how are you doing over there in sunny Florida?
I'm doing great. How can you not be doing great? The halving is just over a week away. That's not what we're here to talk about today. We're here to talk about something a little bit different, equally as exciting. But we're going to talk about the Base Network. We've seen everyone asking. Everybody's wanted to know a little bit more about Base. So we brought in one of the lead projects from the Base ecosystem with Aerodrome. And man, I could not be more excited.
Yeah, I'm really, really honored, Alex, for you to be here. Core contributor at Aerodrome. Thanks for joining us. And how are you doing today?
Doing very well. How are you guys?
Not too shabby. Not too shabby. Well, cool. Alex, we want to kind of dive into Aerodrome. Brendan kind of prefaced it. You know, this is the leading decentralized exchange on the Base Network. And for those who are at home listening, what's the Base Network? This is the layer two blockchain sort of decentralized network that Coinbase, the publicly listed company, the Coinbase that you have on your phone, they sort of incubated this. They launched it. And so there is no Base token that's associated with this network. I think that's also important to understand. Don't go home and go Google how to buy Base token and get scammed. But we wanted to get a deep dive on this, and we decided, you know, there's no better place to go than Aerodrome. But before we dive into what Aerodrome is, we want to get to know Alex. So tell us, you know, a little bit about your background and how you found yourself building this, you know, incredibly successful, wildly explosive move here. How'd you get started here?
Yeah, of course. Thanks so much for having me. I feel like it's not an atypical story for people in crypto and DeFi, but you know, my career journey's been anything other than a straight line. I worked in politics and campaigns for a period. Got really burnt out doing that. Went to work in big tech for a while. Decided I wanted to mix things up. Went into sort of the consulting and agency world for a little bit. And it was at that point in my life that, I had a friend whispering in my ear about crypto. It was DeFi summer. He said the magic words for me at that moment, which was, hey, I'm quitting my very good job because I don't need to work anymore. All I'm doing these days is yield farming. And I was like, okay, all right. I've got to start playing around, right? And then you start down the rabbit hole, you know, you buy some ETH, you move it on chain, you start providing liquidity, you earn rewards, and then what do I go do with these tokens, right? You lock them, you participate in DAOs and other systems. And of course, before I knew it, it was all that I wanted to do. You know, I brought all my money on chain. I was just, you know, degenning it up, trying to learn as much as I could. And it got to the point where, of course, you know, I couldn't do a job and be this solely focused on DeFi. So I made the leap, right? I quit the job. I didn't have a plan other than just diving deep in. And as things do in this space, it just kind of started to snowball from there. Met other people, contributed where I could, met a great group of people that are the folks who, you know, helped us to launch Velodrome and then eventually Aerodrome. And, you know, I really think the rest is kind of history now.
Awesome. Yeah. Brendan, you know, he told me this incredible stat just before we got on. He said that the fourth highest revenue of blockchain projects in the past 30 days, that's Base. So Base has now, you know, it's about, you know, it's like Bitcoin, it's Ethereum, maybe it's Solana, and then it's Base. And Arrow is the top project on Base in terms of volume, in terms of revenue. Tell us a little bit about, you know, what are those top metrics that Aerodrome has been accomplishing, and how have you done it? What's the secret?
Yeah. Boy, I mean, in so many ways you can probably attack that question. I guess maybe where I would start is just that, you know, the genesis for Velodrome and then Aerodrome was a Dex that Andre Kronje launched on Phantom, kind of at the very end of the last bull market. And I kind of actually, I think about that launch and billions of dollars of TVL flowing into Phantom is like the last high water mark. And then it was like
totally
nothing but pain afterwards. Right.
Yeah. Totally.
So Andre launched.
That was like November. That was like November 2021, practically.
Yeah. Yeah. That's when he announced it. I think it went live January. And then it was just like blow after blow. Right. that we had to endure. But, you know, his vision for this new Dex primitive was basically something that brought together the best parts of Curve, Convex, and Uniswap, wrapped it all into a single streamlined Dex design that aligned incentives really well and was designed to basically be the liquidity layer of, like, a growing ecosystem. And while solidly for a multitude of reasons, you know, didn't end up kind of being what everybody maybe hoped it would be in that moment, I think the core thesis behind it, right, was absolutely right. That you could take all of these amazing primitives that had proven themselves out in the last cycle, you could bring them all into a single layer. And by virtue of doing that, right, not having to go to Uniswap for your V2 style pools, Curve for your stable ones, go to Convex if you want to incentivize, you know, having everybody take their cuts, you know, along the way, by wrapping it all together, you have something really special. And so when Andre, you know, decided to take his hiatus from DeFi, we sort of looked at the Solidly model and we said, based on what we saw, what are some tweaks we can make to the underlying economic model, which functions very similar to Curve, if you're familiar, right? It's kind of emissions-based, VE tokens, all of that sort of stuff. So what are some tweaks we can make to the economic model, some tweaks to the underlying code base, and then deploy this on an ecosystem that we think is desperately in need of this kind of liquidity hub. And for us, our choice was optimism, because we felt that even if the whole market was going to contract, you know, basically even if we were going to go through the hell that we did, that there was going to be growth in pockets. And our thesis was those pockets would be Ethereum layer twos. And so Velodrome was the beginning of that. Aerodrome, of course, came later. And I can get into even more about, you know, some of the things that I think lead to the success, but, you know, I'll maybe pause there.
Well, yeah, I mean, let's dive into that, because when you think about layer twos, in previous cycles, they were there, but now they are extremely prevalent. And most people that are crypto savvy are familiar with and have used layer twos now. And it feels like they've kind of exploded onto the scene since the last bull run. Yeah. And I think maybe part of that is because people really got to experience what high gas fees could look like last cycle. And ever since then, it kind of created this wave of people who are so focused on using it for all these different purposes. And, you know, now you look at today and the current circumstances, and it's kind of the same thing. And now it's beyond just Ethereum, right? I mean, even Solana lately, which is supposed to have a much higher throughput than the Ethereum base layer, even they're having issues. And so people are looking at the space of layer twos and, you know, they're becoming really interested with them. So, I mean, like, do you think that is something that has contributed to like the current circumstances?
Yeah, absolutely. And for us, it was a very intentional choice. You know, even at that moment, right, where we were looking at where to deploy, the moment in the industry was still such that everybody told us, you know, go to Avalanche, go to Solana, go to Ethereum mainnet, you know, rebuild it on Phantom. And they said, you know, why in God's name are you going to Optimism, this seemingly, you know, dead chain, right? You know, what are you doing? That's not where the users are. That's not where the activity is. You know, are you guys nuts? But our perspective has always been that, I think generally speaking in our industry, we have like a very like today oriented attitude, or like a strong recency bias, right? So yes, obviously TVL, users, transactions, at that point, every other chain should have looked far more attractive to us. But we had this sense that the Ethereum, the alternate L1 moment had been very much propped up on investment and incentives in these ecosystems. And that in sort of a contraction moment, everything was going to shift back to fundamentals to a degree. And that very we smart. Thought those ecosystems would contract, right? Those incentives mm-hmm. would dry up. The people basically fronting all of that wouldn't be able to sustain it. They didn't.
Sam Bankman-Fried couldn't perpetuate it from behind bars.
we didn't even know how hard the cord would get pulled in some places, right? But we bet on Ethereum layer two because the one thing that we knew was resilient was Ethereum, right? There are people and there are builders who will never leave Ethereum. They will never take their money even back into traditional financial systems. So if the bet was on Ethereum, the question is where was Ethereum going to grow and scale? And that was going to be on L2s because we knew why people love to use alternate layer ones, right? They're fast, they're cheap, they have new and interesting projects launching because they are so accessible. And we knew that the promise of layer twos was that they were going to be able to deliver that. And while like EIP 4844 was way out there in the distance, I think when we launched, we knew that, Ethereum delivers on the roadmap. So we knew eventually that 4844 would launch and that transaction fees on these L2s would feel as good as any of these alt layer ones, but it would come with all the security assurances, of Ethereum. We also knew that they would continue to decentralize. And I think that's going to be the next big catalyst is OP stack decentralization, because there's a lot of people who, until they have those security guarantees, right, won't move over. But yeah, I think that was basically it. We figured that was going to be the place where you were going to be able to combine some of the things that made the alt one successful, but do it on top of Ethereum. And that basically this moment that's come, which is exponential growth on L2s, we wanted to be there to service it. And we wanted to use all that time in between when people were focused on wherever the puck was, right, to be where the puck was going so we could welcome everyone on. Right.
I think when you look at like the current state of base two, there is a lot of like degen activity happening there at the moment, right? I mean, there's a lot of meme coins and other stuff, but then there's a lot of really valuable projects being built as well. So I kind of feel like you get a little bit of like the best of both worlds. But from like an activity standpoint, like where would you say that you, or what do you see the most activity happening? Like what genre do you see the most activity happening on base?
I mean, right now, I would say it's all of the above because what we saw, right, and we saw the same thing on Optimism when we launched there, is like a set of projects and builders who they will just be everywhere, right? You spin up a new chain, you launch somewhere, and they're going to make sure, that they're forked over there. They've got some, at least nominal amount of opportunity, but they'll be there early and good to go. And then there's usually kind of a little bit of a slump, right? Because for everybody else, they're kind of like weighing their options. They're saying, do I launch this meme coin on Solana? Do I launch it on Arbitrum? Do I launch it on Base? And then you've got builders, and projects and DAOs where it just takes either a lot of smart contract work. It takes, moving the political apparatus of a DAO, right? And there's sort of this lagging effect. So when we saw Base's TVL initially go up, then you saw just a little bit of a dip. And for us, like so much of what we do is helping new projects to onboard, introducing them to the ecosystem, helping them bootstrap liquidity, all that sort of fun stuff. But what happened sort of really quickly after that dip was everybody started to reach out. So obviously, like, one of the first things you will often see is the explosion in meme coins, shit coins, like whatever, right? That is one of the lowest friction ways for folks to deploy, get active, generate a lot of speculation, activity, and all that sort of stuff. But it's not just limited to that. Right now, and I would say we've just like doubled our biz dev and partnerships team. It's so overwhelming right now. Almost every token and major project on L1 is looking to either, you know, have sort of a split strategy on Base and L1, or maybe even to move a great deal of their TVL to layer two. And this was always the idea, right? That eventually projects were going to sort of choose a place on L2 to live, because of course, once you hit certain levels of activity and volume and all that sort of stuff, who would ever want to go to L1 to interact with your stuff anymore, right? You don't want to pay an arm and a leg to do that. So we're finally starting to see that. And then we're also starting to see, for the first time, projects on other L2s either migrating because they feel like maybe the momentum has shifted. I think a lot of people are betting on Base's promise, right, to onboard a ton of their users, to integrate their products directly into services on the chain. And if you're on Polygon and Arbitrum, I mean, that's just a fundamentally different value proposition if you want, you know, to access all of those users. And so right now, you know, it does just truly feel like it is everyone. Everyone is at least thinking about, in the process of, or has begun, you know, implementing strategies on Base or even the broader like Optimism Superchain.
Yeah. And I'm seeing the same stuff on my end. I was talking to a project a few months ago and they were like, hey, we're actually moving from Polygon to Base. And they explained why, and the institutional connections and the onboarding and how that improves their user experience. And kind of on the same story of what you were just saying, I have two buddies who have been working on an Ethereum project for years now, and they were just getting ready to launch. I'm not going to say the name of it, but they just hit me up and they're like, hey man, I think we are going to potentially like pivot over to Base. And originally they're on the Ethereum main chain and they're doing exactly what you're talking about, kind of like having this dual presence on the Ethereum main chain, but also on Base. And that wasn't something that they were looking at before, but now they're kind of going through the launching process and the current market with gas fees and other stuff. And they're like, yeah, you know, we are actually going to look at a layer two, and the main layer two that we're looking at is Base right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so as time goes on, I think there's going to be a lot of other projects that go through that same kind of realization process. They're going to come to the same conclusion. And I wouldn't be surprised if that becomes a more popular trend.
Yeah. I've had a few of these moments in working with other builders where they do like a test deployment, right, of their contracts onto the Base testnet or Optimism testnet. And they look at the cost of it and they're just flummoxed, right? and the minute that they see that, I think the wheels just start spinning, because that's not just about like, oh, it's cheaper to launch, right? It's now cheaper to operate. It's now possible to add features that you never thought you could add before. And the wheels just start turning. And that does just feel like a paradigm shift in the moment that we're in, that folks, as soon as they get a taste of that, and as soon as the network effects and users are there, and as soon as the security is there, I think it's going to be wild. I'm already of the mindset that Base will very soon be the largest Ethereum layer two by TVL. It's already topped things by volume and by transactions. It's even passed Ethereum mainnet. I think TVL will be number one soon as well. And if you just imagine a world where it's the two largest chains operating on every meaningful metric is Ethereum and Base, you wonder, you know, what's the fate of some of these other ecosystems? It's going to look so different. And that's why we're just so excited to be on Base and to be a part of that growth, right?
Mm-hmm. And so does that almost mean you guys, because I think about, you know, folks being cross-chain, right? And we've got instances on all the different chains. And I'm not sure if that's the case for Velodrome or Aerodrome more specifically. And is it because kind of you really only want to bet on Base and not on Matic and all that other stuff? And are there plans to go cross-chain or sticking with the EVM on Base?
Yeah. It's a good question. You know, one thing we looked at after launching Velodrome, and there was, I guess, a ton of interest, you know, for us to either deploy like a fork of Velodrome somewhere else or take Velodrome multi-chain. One thing we looked at is just that the multi-chain DEX thesis has not proven itself out, right? And you can just see this in the like TVL numbers on Optimism or Base, right? Look at PancakeSwap on Base, you know, look at Curve on Optimism or Base, look at Balancer, right? And very marginal amounts of TVL, very marginal amounts of activity. These protocols, their incentives, their economic activity is still usually just happening on one chain. And that's why it's wild, right? You're talking about the revenue or rewards numbers for Aerodrome, right? And them being like 5x what Curve is doing. But if you look in DeFi Llama, Curve's on 15 chains, Aerodrome's on one, right? And so there is, I think, value in the incentive alignment that comes with focusing, you know, on a single chain. It totally aligns your incentives to focus on the growth and scaling of that chain. That said, though, with Optimism, their vision is to connect together all of these chains that are being built on the OP stack and that are participating in the superchain, to connect them together in such a way that it abstracts away the complexities and frictions of moving between these chains. So one day, operating on the superchain should feel as cohesive as, you know, operating on a monolithic chain, as operating on OP mainnet. So the plan basically for Velodrome is to extend horizontally across these superchains. So Velodrome's already announced, we're going to Mode, we're going to build on Bitcoin, which is an exciting new Bitcoin-based L2 building on the OP stack. There's a number of others, you know, WorldCoin, Zora, Fraxtal, a bunch of others. And so Velodrome is going to be kind of the liquidity layer across these super chains, making sure that each of these chains can build liquidity over time as the interoperability comes online, that liquidity is accessible across these chains. And so that's sort of the vision for Velodrome. We think it's a little different than cross-chain because it's going to be very much integrated over time into this interoperability technology that will only work in the way that it can work because these are all operating on the same technology stack. The plan for Aerodrome, though, because we expect Base probably to be as big, if not bigger, than every other superchain combined in the medium term, is to integrate like very vertically into Base. And what that means is we expect Base to have some very unique offerings. You guys have probably seen that like Coinbase has begun to move some of their own USDC onto the chain. They're working to bring on some of their institutional partners on chain. They are integrating products and services on Base directly into their applications. Their new smart wallet, and we're seeing a sort of dizzying amount of L3s already beginning to be built on top of Base. And so Aerodrome's job is really to service that in the way that only a native layer can, right? If you are a multi-chain DEX, you're not going to be able to basically custom design for the unique needs of Base in the same way that a native layer can.
Awesome. Well, some of the things that you've talked about heavily incentivized platform Aerodrome is for users. And so I just want to know a little bit about how listeners at home who are like, oh, wow, you know, I want to get involved and maybe even earn some Aerodrome tokens. Like, how can somebody do that?
Yeah. There are a lot of ways to do it. And I always love to kind of filter it through my own experience, right? And how I got started doing any of this. So, of course, the simplest way to use Aerodrome, right, is just to go on there and bridge some funds onto Base. You can do that via, of course, the official bridge, any number of the bridge partners. You can even, of course, without any fees, bring money from Coinbase onto Base if you're a Coinbase user. So it's very easy to get onto Base. And then, you know, one of the easiest things is just to like go to the swap page, you know, look at other projects and tokens in the ecosystem and kind of say like, hey, do I want to swap some of this USDC for Moonwell, which is a lending protocol, or Grand Base, or any of these other ecosystem projects? Then you go get involved in those projects and you learn more about it. Maybe you're participating in DAOs, you know, using some of their services. But then like the next step in Aerodrome would be like, hey, I now have these two tokens. I have some USDC, I have some Moonwell, and I'm going to pair up those two tokens and provide liquidity. And you know, providing liquidity is just kind of the thing that supports trading, right? You are the person who's offering up both sides of that pool so that somebody can swap their tokens one way and can swap them the other. And the reward that we give you for doing that, right? Or the reward, I should say, the protocol does, because this is all totally permissionless and decentralized. If I were to disappear from this earth, you know, all of this stuff would work exactly as it does now without any human intervention needed. That's the beauty of the system. But you would earn Aero tokens as a reward. And if you want to take those Aero tokens and swap them for ETH or your favorite coin, you could do that. You could also take those Aero tokens and lock them and then begin participating in the direction of emissions, right? So you could direct more emissions through your voting power to the pool in which you're providing liquidity, right? Support that project, support your own liquidity position. And then you're earning back the rewards that pool generates, right? The fees it's generating, any incentives deposited on it. And so it is like, it is definitely like graduating, right, into like slightly more complex things, but it's,
sure,
it's just great that you can kind of just ease your way in, right? Dip your toes in, go a little bit deeper if you want, go a little deeper if you want, figure out the things, the activities in DeFi that are most rewarding to you, that you're most interested in. And I think we provide a lot of different ways to do that.
Yeah. I mean, and with the growth of not only Base, but Aerodrome as a whole here, did you notice any kind of growing pains in recent weeks with like the explosion of activity and throughput? I mean, when I think of like when the crypto market goes wild, like use Coinbase as an example, right? A couple of weeks ago,
yeah,
when prices
stopped
working. Yeah, it literally just stopped working. And they were like, guys, we were prepared to do 10 times our normal throughput, and you blew that out of the water. And we were just not expecting this kind of activity. And they went down for a little bit, and they had to collect themselves. And so I'm kind of wondering, you know, have you or Aerodrome gone through the same thing where you're like, hey, we were expecting, you know, this amount, and now we saw 5, 10, 15, 20 times that, or whatever it may be. And did you all as a team have to kind of get together and be like, let's expand here? So I guess like the big question from this is like, what kind of growing pains have you all gone through?
Yeah, you know, I think for us, there hasn't been anything on the technical side, and that is just because we built a protocol from the very beginning to be as decentralized as humanly possible, right? So we built on immutable contracts that cannot be changed. Our front end doesn't rely on any centralized backends, APIs, sort of things like that. It's all live data off of the chain. And so that means that, you know, from a product standpoint, it just scales. It scales with activity. It scales with demand. The only thing, you know, we saw that every base user experienced too was immediately after 4844, where demand went exponential and gas fees, you know, went nuts again. And then the base team had to sort of do their work to increase the overall capacity. And now those fees are back down, you know, in the cents, thankfully. But that was the only like technical thing that happened. And I mean, that's just the chain working as it's supposed to. More demand, higher costs, keep everything in balance. I think for us though, the like growing pains is more just like, you know, we try to be out there supporting the community. We try to be there answering questions. You know, we try to do, you know, outreach to partners and help them onboard and all that sort of stuff. And that has definitely gone exponential. And so that's where I've definitely said, you know, we were already in the process of bringing some folks on board. So the timing was good, but, you know, I've got 100 Telegram messages going at any given time. And there was a period where it all felt very manageable. And now it's like, we need systems, we need process, we need like to divide and conquer certain things. But those are the good problems to have. That's just everyone wants to be on base. They see us as the front door of the ecosystem. So naturally, they're going to knock on our door first. And we're going to do everything we can to support that onboarding.
Awesome. Well, one of the really cool things that I saw get published, I think it was literally just a few hours ago, like 2 or 3 hours ago, is about a Slipstream upgrade or something along those lines. Is that correct?
Yep, that's correct.
Yeah, I mean, walk us through that, because it seems like it's going to be a really positive thing from a liquidity standpoint.
Yeah. So yeah, this is super exciting. As I described at the beginning, you know, the original core design, right, is what if we took the best of Curve, Convex, and Uniswap and rolled it all into one, right? And we've sort of labeled this the MetaDex model. You don't need four different protocols to do all of those things. You don't need derivative tokens. You don't need all these different layers. Just build all of the best functionality into one place. And originally, though, the two core AMMs, right, were a sort of Curve-style stable swap optimized AMM, and then your UniV2-style AMM, which, of course, I think has demonstrated its resiliency, you know, even in the face of UniV3 and other models that have come. There's something just very tried and true, very effective about those UniV2 style pools. However, we know that for extremely high volume pairs, right, in these ecosystems, in Optimism, you know, an OP wrapped ETH pool, a wrapped ETH USDC pool, on base, you know, your Wrapped Staked ETH USDC, your Wrapped ETH USDC. These are pools that are extremely well served by liquidity concentration, right? You can deliver much better swap execution, so less slippage with less total liquidity, such that, you know, it can just boost volumes and the trading experience across the chain, which is stuff that improves the overall ecosystem. So we recently rolled out Slipstream on Velodrome, on Optimism. And what Slipstream is going to do is basically, for the handful of pools on Optimism that benefit tremendously, right, from concentration, we're now going to be able to service them. And the exciting thing about it is that we know our model is capable of attracting major TVL differentials. You know, I think on base right now, for instance, Aerodrome has like 2.6 times the total TVL as Uniswap does. So what happens when you take that kind of TVL differential and you are able to concentrate it at a competitive level? Well, then you are going to be the best route for aggregators, right? Because you're going to have the deepest, most concentrated liquidity. And that means more volume will start flowing through those pools. They will start generating more fees that flow to the VE Velo lockers, the folks sort of directing emissions each week. And it has the potential to really have like a vampire-like effect on Uniswap, because the moment you start taking the fees, right, and the volume from Uniswap, they have no other way to subsidize that, right? It is just fees. And if suddenly aggregators aren't choosing your liquidity over in Uniswap, those liquidity providers are going to look for where the best yields are. Those are on Aerodrome or Velodrome now. And so like going all the way back to like the launch of Curve V2, that was the last time I feel like there was a moment in DeFi where the industry or those people watched it and said, maybe there's going to finally be somebody who can dethrone Uniswap's volume dominance, right? They don't have a fee switch. You know, there's all these compromises, of course, to being on Uniswap, but they go out there and they win volume because of this concentration. We've never seen a DEX with the TVL differential plus competitive execution. And that's where I think things get very, very exciting, both for Velodrome and for Aerodrome, because you guys saw maybe, I think, last week, over $1 billion in volume, you know, on base. Like if we can make Aerodrome the best place to trade, it's going to be very exciting to see.
Yeah. And I think you guys are clearly this goes without stating, you guys are well on your way to being just that. So, hey, Alex, we really appreciate you coming on, talking all things base, all things Aerodrome. Where would you recommend our listeners kind of stay in touch? You know, is it a big Twitter community, Discord, Telegram?
Yeah, definitely check out our Twitters, Aerodrome Fi and Velodrome Fi. LinkedIn, our profiles, of course, is our Discord. Our Medium, I would say our Discord communities these days are absolutely hopping. So, you know, if this is all new to you and you want to, you know, get into a place and learn more about it and ask questions, definitely recommend jumping into the Discord. Definitely follow us on Twitter. We'll keep you updated with things like Slipstream launch and new pools and all of that sort of fun stuff. And I on Twitter, I'm at Wake Me Alexander. Definitely feel free to follow me and say hi as well. I definitely appreciate the opportunity, guys.
Yeah, 100%. I could definitely, see a lot of folks who are following that are, you know, DeFi traders or wanting to get into DeFi trading, being able to find a lot of value in your Discord. I'm sure they were listening to that last, 10 or 15 minute riff on liquidity providing and yield farming. And they're like, all right, I got to get closer to this guy. Because that's what I'm thinking. No, that was awesome. And Alex, we appreciate your time. Shout out to your whole team at Arrow. And we'll see you next time.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.